Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
saints and angels song.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You are listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, now meeting at the Holiday Inn Express in Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's Word and desiring His coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and He is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be listening to the end of today's program for opportunities on how you can support this radio ministry. Jesus said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life."
I am continuing my message entitled, Son or Lord, an Enigma. Shortly before his crucifixion, Jesus profound the intellect of the religious leaders of his day, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, with several questions that stopped them in their tracks. They were without an answer. The question that I am continuing to address this beautiful morning is, how could the Messiah, also called Christ, be the son of David if David called him Lord? This conundrum is found in Matthew chapter 22, verses 41 through 46. The glorious answer is gleaned from the Word of God. Join me as I search the Scriptures for an answer nestled within the pages of Holy Writ. The lordship spoken of by David involved the Godhead. From Psalm 110, we read it in Mark 12 and Matthew 22. The lordship spoken of by David involves the Godhead. And it continues, "Sit thou on my right hand." David's Lord, just named, elevated to the throne of deity. The Lord at my right hand shall strike through kings
in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. David's Lord is the world's final judge. He is God. In that day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. So, he is a king. He is Lord. Here is the enigma. Okay? Here is the enigma. If Christ is from eternity, how can he be David's son? If he is born of David, how can he be the eternal God? Do you hear that question? If Christ is from eternity God, how can he be David's son? If he is born of David, how can he be the eternal God? The silence of the Pharisees is extraordinarily significant. They were confounded by their unbelief. Only three answers were possible. Since David called Messiah Lord, Messiah could not be his son. Since David called Messiah Lord, Messiah could not be his son. That's answer number one. Three possible answers the Pharisees could have given the Lord. This reply is the overthrow of the word of God, and therefore the overthrow of God. Messiah was to be born in the city of David, according to Micah 5:2, from the stem of Jesse, according to Isaiah 11:1, from the throne for the throne of David, according to Jeremiah 23:5. The overthrow of God is involved in the overthrow of his law and his prophets. So answer number one would not be correct. It could not be correct. Since David called Messiah Lord, Messiah could not be his son. And we have all throughout the scriptures that Messiah was to be his son. Answer number two. Since Messiah was David's son, he could not be David's Lord. Okay, how many fathers call their son Lord? It would be the other way around, right? Where the son calls his father Lord, because he's the elder, he's older. We see that sometimes in the scriptures, my Lord, used it with a lowercase L, speaking of somebody who is elder, superior, a ruler, leader, king, secular or an earthly king, and they use the lowercase L. And so then why did David call him Lord? Even more so, why did the Spirit of God move David to call him Lord? Because David knew he was fully aware of the Davidic covenant that we read in 2 Samuel chapter 7. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his son. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his son. If Christ is refused as David's Lord, we charge the Holy Spirit with sin, which is blasphemous. We know from Mark chapter 3, but he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. So if Christ is refused as David's Lord, we charge the Holy Spirit with sin, which is blasphemous. And so they didn't choose that answer. That can't be the right answer, number two. Number three, the third answer. Since Messiah was both son and Lord of David, he must be both man and God. This would at once have established the Messiahship of Jesus. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. See that in Luke 2 there? For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, the angels proclaimed, which is Christ the Lord. So not only is the deity mentioned there in the scriptures, but his humanity being born in the city of David. David's God was David's child. Wow, that's profound. David's God was David's child. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called the Mighty God. The Mighty God. Then why do ye not believe him? This John, Jesus said to the multitude that he was preaching to in John chapter 8. Every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Why do ye not believe him? The silence of the Pharisees was not due so much to their confounded intellect, but to their unconverted hearts. Their unconverted hearts. So Roman numeral 5 in your notes. The twofoldness of divine truth resolves the enigma. The twofoldness of divine truth resolves the enigma. These Pharisees had been dead for a score of years. Calvary is over. The sacred canon of Scripture is closing, and the Lamb is upon the throne. In the holy presence of angels, Jesus speaks. Once again, it is the old conundrum. And he's speaking through John the Revelator, late in life, about, I believe the book of Revelation was written in 90 AD, and John, the Apostle John, was the only apostle still living by this time. He was banished to the island of Patmos, and he was boiled in oil and survived. And in Revelation chapter 22, it says, Jesus is speaking through the apostle, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I, Jesus, have sent my angels to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Now, we talked about that last week, about the Jesus is the morning star, not Lucifer. And if you were here last week, you remember I emphasized that, because you will hear in churches that are using different Bibles than the King James Bible, they call Lucifer morning star or day star. And I've heard it multitudes of times. I can point to, on the west side of Indianapolis, a church, a Baptist church, where the preacher said, back in the summer, said that Lucifer is the day star. No, Jesus is the day star. Jesus is the morning star. Jesus confirms it, because he says it with his own words here. If you have a red line Bible, those words would be in red in the book of Revelation. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Astronomically, in the sky, what star is called the morning star? What star is called the morning star? Janet says the North Star. Anybody else want to throw out a suggestion? What star in the night sky is called the Morning Star in astronomy, in the actual physical heavens that we see overhead? It's not a star. It's Venus. The planet Venus, next to the moon, the next brightest object in the sky is Venus. And if you noticed, sometimes Venus will be the first star you see in the morning, and sometimes in the evening it'll be the first star that appears before the sky gets dark enough to see the other stars. Sometimes you'll see around the moon, I forget what they call that period of time, but sometimes you'll see at the bottom of the moon, you'll see a star, that's Venus. When the orbit is just right with the moon, you'll see a star right under the moon, and that is actually the planet Venus, a reflection. And so the Venus is known as the morning star or evening star in astronomy, and because of its brightness in the sky. So God's eternal paradox yields but one reply. Christ is God, Christ is man. The root out of which David sprang is the rod or the branch out of the stem or the trunk of Jesse. Thinking of a tree, looking at a tree, the Lord uses that analogy of a child that comes out of the loins of his father. The root out of which David sprang is the rod or branch out of the stem of Jesse. David's maker is David's offspring. David's maker is David's offspring. Christ was born, yet Christ was never born. We read in Isaiah 11, 1 and 2, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord." So Christ was born, yet Christ was never born. He was eternal. He was from everlasting to everlasting. The branch, we read in Isaiah 11, 10, "And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people." What does that mean, an ensign? What's an ensign? If you have no military, naval terms, an ensign. Now, in a naval term, ensign would be the banner that it flies at the back of the ship declares port that ship is from, what country that ship is from. And we are Christians. We are Christ ones. We are children of the Lord Jesus Christ. "To it shall the Gentile seek, and his rest shall be glorious." Speaking of the future rest. Not only do we have rest, he tells us to rest in him. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavily burdened. Find rest in me." Yes, we find rest in Christ. We can turn to him in all our troubles and trials and tribulations. But we don't have rest in the earth today. We have tribulation, trials, difficulties, sickness, persecutions. We have all kinds of things that we deal with, but there's a future rest. The millennial rest is also a glorious time in Scripture and is heavily dealt with in the Scriptures. The root, before Jesse was, Christ is. Long after Jesse is dead, Christ is born. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the counsel or unto the gospel of God, which he hath promised afore by his prophets in the holy scriptures concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, so that's his humanity, his incarnation, and declared to be the Son of God, deity, eternal God, with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. What Christ was in his time on earth, that he is in eternity. What Christ was in his time on earth, that he is in eternity. In conclusion, Christ is Son and Lord. All silence before the enigma is a guilty silence. What think ye of Christ? That's a good question to put to people when you're witnessing. What think ye of Christ? Who do you think Jesus Christ was? Just go and take a survey from people and ask what they think of Christ. God said to God, sit thou on my right hand, enthrone thyself. You have never said that to Christ, but God has. David called Christ Lord. Will you? The Holy Spirit in David calls Christ Lord. Do you? The man after God's own heart, which is David, said, my Lord. Mary Magdalene at the tomb said, my Lord. Rabboni, which means master. The word Jesus taught us to call no man rabbi, call no man master, call no man father, but only your Father in heaven, or Jesus, who is Lord. Rabboni, that's what Mary Magdalene said at the tomb when Jesus' body was no longer in the grave. Thomas, wrestling with doubt, said, my Lord and my God. The imprisoned Apostle Paul, and he was the Apostle of the Gentiles. He was known as the Apostle of the Gentiles, the Apostle Paul, imprisoned in the book of Philippians, one of the prison epistles that he wrote while he was in prison, said, my Lord. Millions upon millions of the sanctified for the last 2,000 years have said, my Lord. 159 times the phrase, my Lord, occurs in Scripture. Not always with a capital L, however. Sarah called Abraham Lord. I've been waiting for Kim to call me Lord. It hasn't happened yet. If your lips are locked, they may be locked in silence with the unbelieving Pharisees. Jesus was born as man that he might obtain what now he dispenses as God, salvation. Amen. Jesus was born as man that he might obtain what now he dispenses as God, salvation. That includes justification, redemption, remission of sins, sanctification, and so on. Christ became partaker of mankind that we might become partakers of the divine. Glorification. Christ became partaker of mankind that we might become partakers of the divine glorification. The Son of God became the Son of Man, that the sons of men might become the sons of God. Amen. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son. Speaks of the eternal God, made of a woman, speaks of the man Christ, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Okay? Jesus is the only begotten Son. John 3:16. Just turn there for a minute. Just turn there for a minute. That verse there, Galatians 4 and John 3:16. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you know that many of the other versions that we talked about last week take that word only begotten out? Take the word begotten. They say only Son, the one and only Son. No. No. The key, it has to stay there. It denies the virgin birth of Christ. He is the only begotten Son. He's the only begotten Son. That is crucial. But why do these Bibles take these words out, like begotten and Lucifer, as we saw last week, and swap out in Peter where it says day star and put morning star? Why do all these versions have to do that? For two reasons. To pervert the scriptures, because they want to pervert the scriptures and destroy people's confidence in the Word of God. But the second reason is they can't copyright. They can't copy. It has to be different. So they have to have all these differences in order to copyright, because it would be plagiarism. So they have to write. So then they write Greek texts and make Greek text to back up their version of the perverted version of the Word of God. That is crucial. But we are adopted sons and daughters. But the Bible just says adopted sons. In some places it says sons and daughters. But here it says sons. It means all the children of God, male and female. Thank God there's only two genders. Amen. Say it with me. Christ my Lord. Say it again. Christ my Lord. Say it one more time. Christ my Lord. Is Jesus Christ your Lord? Scriptures say, you don't have this in your notes, but let me just close here. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us. So there again, you see in just that passage the divine nature and the human nature of the Christ child. His humanity, he is a man, and his deity, he is Emmanuel. It said in Isaiah also the same thing. It's a fulfillment of Isaiah when the angel Gabriel said that in Matthew. And it says in Luke 1:35, The Gabriel was talking and said that to Mary, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Again, that holy seed, Bible uses the word holy thing, shall be born of thee, that speaks of his humanity, shall be called, capital S, the Son of God, speaking of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ.
You have been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Now meeting at the Holiday Inn Express, 13625 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. If you enjoy this programming and would like to send support, please mail to P.O. Box 47201, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46247-0201. Your financial support is tremendously appreciated. Email Pastor Greg at gdzula@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you.